This is TWiT.
Mike, this is up your alley, and we did not wind up discussing last week, though I wanted to. We shelved it because you were out of pocket last week. We have in the rundown this week the story of PayPal and Pandora, but prior to that was the litigation involving Google and Google's victory lately that the word Google has not become generic enough to strip Google of its trademark. In the story we have in the rundown, PayPal is suing Pandora, saying that its P infringes PayPal's P, or two P's, or shadow P's. I'm dying to get your take on all of this stuff. It seems, just for starters, that the Google case at least just strikes me intuitively as correctly decided. Do you agree?
I do agree. So the primary argument that was being made by Elliot, the plaintiff in that case, is that Google, because people use the term as a verb, i.e. go Google that, and use it in various other non-trademark ways, the argument was that it's become generic, and therefore it's become generic for simply searching the web. And when a trademark becomes generic, that means that anybody is entitled to use it. There's been lots of interesting trademarks over the years that started off as trademarks but ultimately became generic through people's use of the terms as a verb or otherwise. Some really good examples of that would be aspirin. That used to be a trademark owned by the Bayer company, and it has become generic. Some other really well-known generic trademarks, cellophane used to be a trademark of the DuPont company. Escalator used to also be a trademark. So lots of examples of terms that are used in kind of our everyday lexicon that used to be trademarks that were owned by a particular company. So that was the argument that was made by Elliot in this case, that Google had become generic because people use that term indiscriminately, or so the argument was, to search for the act of searching the web for content. And what the Ninth Circuit said, and I think I agree with you completely that the court got it right, that, well, just because consumers and others may use a term as a verb, a trademark term as a verb, that does not mean that it's become generic. What really counts at the end of the day and what we really look to is the primary significance of the term to the relevant consuming public. Once a term, the primary significance of which becomes generic in the minds of consumers, then it becomes generic as a matter of law. But that's not what Google has become. It's still a very, very strong brand. People associate that with a single source. And irrespective of the fact that it's used as a verb, it still retains very significant strength as a trademark. So that's the Google case in a nutshell.
Right. And Xerox still has the trademark to Xerox?
As far as I know, I mean, and that's another really good example of how people use a term Xerox. You know, people will say, oh, can you go Xerox this? Which really is exactly the functional equivalent of saying, hey, will you go Google that? You know, Xerox, like a lot of big brands do, they like to launch advertising campaigns to make sure that their mark does not become generic. So over the years, you've probably seen in magazines and in other media, Xerox had ads that it would say, hey, look, make sure you refer to our trademarks as a trademark. Don't use Xerox as a verb, and other similar advertising campaigns that make sure to point out for consumers the importance and the significance of the trademark so you don't run into a genericism problem.
Right. All right. Well, let's turn to PayPal and Pandora. A different issue there. Nobody's arguing that anything has become generic. What PayPal is more classically arguing is that Pandora's trademark is confusingly similar to its own, and that they are close enough in they can't really be arguing that they're offering the same sorts of services, because they're not. But they're making this interesting argument that they're in the same arena. They've asserted, and here's a quote, I believe, from their complaint, there's a demonstrable nexus between PayPal's and Pandora's services, starting with the fact that companies are in direct competition for precious real estate on the screens of consumers' mobile devices. Mm-hmm. Consumers also use PayPal to pay for their Pandora subscriptions. Now, Mike, you're more the expert in field of trademark litigation, but both of those strike me as pretty feeble.
It's interesting. I wouldn't say feeble. I would say it's a little bit different take on some of the classic elements that we talk about in terms of trademark infringement and dilution. So typically we think of a classic case of trademark infringement being two competitors that are offering the same or similar types of goods or services. That tends to be a very important factor. And as you, I think, rightfully pointed out, Denise, PayPal and Pandora offer two different services. One is a payment processing service. One is providing music and other entertainment-related services. So they're both very disparate in that regard. But what's interesting here is in this commercial context, as PayPal pointed out in the complaint, look, we're competing. Our services overlap to the extent that we are both targeting consumers that use an iPhone, and we're competing for precious space on that particular device. So in that sense, our services overlap, even if they're not competing directly against each other. We are in the same channels of trade, which is an important factor. And the other factor that is particularly important in all cases, and I think in this one in particular, is there evidence of actual confusion in the marketplace? And PayPal went to great lengths to explain that there's been lots of instances where consumers apparently have been led to believe that Pandora is now somehow affiliated or associated or sponsored by PayPal as a result of changing the P logo. So that's an important factor in any case, whether there's actual confusion. So, you know, it looks like PayPal's alleging that there's been a significant amount of it. Now, this case does raise the question as to, well, how significant or what are your rights associated in a simple letter? Can you really just have a protectable trademark with respect to the letter P? And you certainly can if it's recognized as such by consumers as coming from a particular source. And if you've also you don't need a registration, but if you have a trademark registration, that will further bolster the substance of your case as well. So it's a very interesting trademark-related case, a little bit different as we were talking about a moment ago, the theory that's being alleged here as far as confusion, or at least the factors that are going to come into play. But it's going to be a very interesting case to watch play out. And Pandora, for its part, it had previously used a P. It's now modified its P to look apparently a little bit more like the Pandora P. So it is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Pandora apparently has no interest in changing its particular look and feel.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating. And the only reason this case exists is because of the realm of mobile apps, right? The importance of that little square with the rounded corners that appears on everybody's phone. And the fact that you glance down, note what that square looks like, and click it to launch whatever app you need. And in this case, we have Pandora with a white background and a P that is not italics, for lack of a better description. And we have PayPal with a blue background and a pair of P's, I guess, indicating PayPal, or a shadow P. Neither P has... How do I describe this? Neither P has an open part in the middle of the round part. Mm-hmm. In other words, they are solid depictions of a pea rather than how you might write it out if you were doing it in longhand. There's no open area in the middle. So I guess that font choice is perhaps a little confusing. The colors are similar, but it's not the identical font or logo. And I would think that the use of two P's rather than one P should play into the analysis here. But getting back to the issue of, you know, can you trademark a letter as your logo? And is that the answer to that question affected by the fact that a letter as a logo now means something that it didn't before? It means that's the app I want to use and I'm going to launch it. How do you think all that plays in, Mike?
I think that's going to be one of the key questions. From a pure trademark perspective, there's nothing problematic in my mind with the company claiming that a P or a shadow P or a PP or however we're referring to the mark as here. There's nothing that precludes somebody from claiming trademark rights associated with that particular design. At the end of the day, it's really all about whether consumers associate that particular logo or design or single letter with with a company that provides goods or services to the public. So there's nothing that strikes me as out of the ordinary with respect to that. It's a little bit different here because it we're talking about just a single letter to the alphabet. Your points about, you know, it's a different font and one is the shadow P and one doesn't have the shadow P and the Pandora one looks maybe a little squattier. I think that'll come into play. Certainly Pandora will be saying, look, the marks themselves are not identical. Yes, they share some similarities, but we both have companies or services that start with P. So I've got to be able to use the letter P to signify, certainly in the context of an app on a mobile phone, that's really a shorthand way to refer to our particular business. This is probably one of those cases, like many trademark cases do, that will come down to a battle of the experts. If this case goes on for a while, presumably both sides will have consumer survey experts and market researchers that they will hire to either claim that there is actual confusion in the marketplace or there is not. So oftentimes that type of evidence can be really, really important for the court or the jury's ultimate consideration. And in trademark cases, it's difficult to get summary judgment. So either the case will probably settle or it'll go to trial. It seems like there's enough here that, you know, both sides will be able to, at least based on what we've seen so far, be able to create questions of fact as to whether the case should ultimately go to the jury. So it's going to be a fun case to see play out and see how the district court and maybe ultimately the appellate court deals with the issues.